Here in just at the end of the homily in a little bit, we're going to have some of the elect come forward to do the second scrutiny. We did the first scrutiny last Sunday. And so last Sunday, the gospel was the Samaritan woman about the thirst. And this is about light. One of the most mysterious elements in the universe is light. Sometimes it's a wave, sometimes it's a photon package or whatever they call that. Or for some reason, there's a law that nothing can go faster than the speed of light. Usually. The absence of light makes us feel cold, fearful, alone, anxious, depressed. The morning light, or the light of the day, fills us with hope and warmth, peace, even joy. As a kid, I was known as the light flipper because you could track my progress through the house by seeing the light go on and then go off and then go on and then go off. I was scared of the dark. St. Paul, in the second reading to the letter to the Ephesians, he says that light, spiritual light, the light of the Lord, produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. When we let the light of Christ shine into our minds and our hearts and our souls, it produces goodness and righteousness and truth. Is there goodness, righteousness, and truth in our minds and hearts and souls? Some. I'm sure there's some. If we're honest, though, there's still plenty of darkness. We get impatient in traffic, in conversations, with work, with family, with friends, with life. We get angry and greedy and selfish and prideful and lustful and envious and lazy. St. Paul calls these the fruitless works of darkness. The fruitless works of darkness. How much fruit do my sins bear in my life? At best, maybe a brief, temporary excitement. And then what? St. Paul even equates the absence of light with a type of death. At the end of that reading, he says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." In the gospel, this particular man was born blind. Jesus explains why. So that the works of God might be made visible through him. Normally, the works of God act invisibly within us, in the heart. That first reading from Samuel says, the Lord looks into the heart. He sees there. What does he see? But sometimes his works are manifested, as here in the gospel, in the miracle of physical sight. But as we will see, the greater manifestation is the miracle of spiritual sight. Jesus heals the man by making clay and smearing his eyes. The Pharisees see this as Jesus breaking the law. Not supposed to work on the Sabbath. He's breaking the law. The man himself describes it as he made clay. That's an act of creation. And he anointed my eyes. That's a sacred act. See how differently the man and the Pharisees see the same thing? The man says he's a prophet. He's from God. The Pharisees say he is not from God. He is a sinner. See how differently they see the same thing? Jesus says to the man, Do you believe in the Son of Man? Up until this point in the gospel, it's been all about seeing. But suddenly, seeing becomes about believing. The man confesses faith. I believe. And he worships. Faith must lead to worship. Physical sight was always just a sign to help bring him to spiritual sight, where he believes. And so worships. Why does the man see the sign, believe the reality, and worship. But the Pharisees see the breaking of the law, disbelieve the truth, and persecute. When Jesus healed the man, he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Jesus is the sent one. It's like telling him to go wash in Jesus. And when he does so, it's interesting. The people, they don't quite recognize him anymore. Is that guy we used to see and know? He looks different. There's something different about him. When we truly receive our faith, when we start to come to faith, when we get baptized, there's something different about us. There should be something different about us. And because of that, we might wind up getting persecuted as well. The same event was seen by both the man and the Pharisees, but the light of Christ, when shown into the hearts of the Pharisees, produced a rejection and a shunning. It revealed no room for God because they were envious of Jesus. They were proud of being in control, proud of being in the place of God. And this revelation gave them of the light, gave them an opportunity to see themselves as they really are and to repent. But they chose rather to persecute. When Jesus says, "I came into this world for judgment," he means, "I came to reveal your hearts to you." And in his light, when he shines his light into our hearts, we can choose. We can choose to stay in that comfortable sin or choose to arise from the dead to a new hope and warmth and joy and peace and light. He shines his light, and we must choose. Will we even let him shine his light into us? Will we beg him to do so? If we truly want to be free of sin, then we must seek his light to shine in us. Let him anoint your eyes with the salve of faith to give you spiritual sight. You know, some people see the world only through the lens of power or of economics or of lust or of suspicion. We can also see the world through the lens of Christ, of faith. And Christ isn't naive. He knows how to bring true joy and true peace. So here's the homework for the week. Ask the Lord every day this week to anoint your eyes with the salve of faith. Ask him also to shine his light into your heart, but be ready to repent when he does so.